be an absolute world beater coming into the season. He's the guy in the Rocky Top League who wowed everybody. He's the guy that came in with a reputation as being somebody who could score. And it just, for whatever reason, hasn't happened for him.
Well, here's my point with him, Tony. Look how much more skilled Armani Moore is as a shooter now.
Yep.
And Dietrich Mostella doesn't appear to have improved in a single facet of the game one lick in his time here. And that's work ethic. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, there's no doubt what that is.
You can tell
this team, just look at the guys who have made tremendous jumps as players. You can tell who's putting in work and who isn't.
And Keith is not doing this from a position of being malicious. But let's just say this about you. You're somebody that's been to every game. You're somebody who is a long time, if not, you could almost use the term lifetime season ticket holder. And you're somebody who speaks from a point of passion, which is why I feel blessed to have you in the radio family. And also as a part of our In the Paint television family, which will launch December 8th. Over on Fox 43 along with Donnie Tindall. But Dietrich Mostella is a guy now through a couple of regimes who has been a little bit of an enigma. And I guess my thing with guys like him is Robert Hubbs struggled, and his body language hasn't exactly at times been great the last couple of years at times. But at least he looked like he was... He wanted
engaged.
To succeed. He engaged. Okay, that's a good term. Engaged is a good term. And, you know, I just kind of sit here and I don't know. I don't know what to make of this deal. I don't know what to make of this deal.
Well, I mean, he comes into the game, Tony, and immediately loses his man and gives up a layup defensively. And then runs down the wrong side of the floor offensively. I mean, you can't play with guys like that.
If you want to get in with us tonight, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. It's your Smartway Dalton Behring Hydraulic Tennessee basketball overtime. I want to thank my friends at Smartway and Dalton Behring and Hydraulics. And Tennessee wins tonight over Army, the final score 95-80. Mark Griffin will be stopping by a little later on. If you want to get on, 865-200-5402. A game that I am calling Tennessee's most solid effort of the young basketball season. And a game, and by the way, as you call in, when you hear yourself become engaged. In other words, when you hear us on hold in your ear, you'll know that you're on hold for the program. Please stay right there. We'll come to you momentarily as we have some folks on hold who want to talk on a night where Tennessee wins. And here's the thing about this season. We take the wins where we can get them. And you know, tonight's game wasn't perfect. But Tennessee's playing a fun brand of basketball right now. Keith, were they better tonight in your mind on the defensive end of the floor than they've been? How do you answer that?
Well, Navy plays at a pretty good, or Army plays at a pretty good pace. They shoot it pretty well. So I mean, other than the points you give up on the offensive rebounds, I thought their first shot defense tonight was by far the best. You've just got to do a better job of not giving up second and third shot as best you can with this roster.
Yeah, and, you know, the point is that we know they're going to do that, and it's not fun for anybody. And they don't want to be thoroughly out-rebounded. What did you make of Kyle Alexander's effort tonight, which I thought he had his best showing so far the young season? Your thoughts?
Well, I thought he got after the ball, and he's going to have trouble in the post. I mean, he's not experienced or strong enough yet to be very good defensively down there, but he at least gets after the ball, and I thought he gave the team a nice little lift.
What about Kasongo?
He's got a long way to go. I mean, he looked thoroughly lost out there in his short stint tonight.
Of the youngsters, who gives you hope?
Well, I think all three of the freshmen. I've seen something out of all of them that at least indicates that they're athletically capable of playing at this level. Which a lot of times with freshmen, what you've got to look for. I mean, other than your big time, top 25-ish type recruits, most freshmen are going to come in and they're not going to be world beaters. But you can tell if a guy actually has the athleticism to play. And I think Phillip Schofield and Kyle Alexander all have that.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a pretty good game tonight. We'll go to the phones. 865-200. Go ahead.
Tennessee's ball movement was magnificent tonight. I mean, the ball didn't stick. I mean, you didn't have guys standing around trying to pound the ball through the floor for 15 seconds. I mean, I thought Tennessee shared the ball beautifully tonight. It's hard to find much fault other than they got a little three happy early. But once they got out of that, I mean, Tennessee probably shot somewhere around 60% from 2-point range, I would think.
Well, the numbers on the night, Tennessee 37 out of 70 from the field. 70 field goal attempts for the Vols, 70 field goal attempts for Army. A game played very quickly, as you said. Tennessee 45% from three-point land, which is an incredibly good number, 10 out of 22. And that, since the beginning of the year, is the highest three-point total they've shot since the exhibition season, I want to say. 22 three-point attempts is quite a few. And I'll try to get the two numbers for you. As Tennessee, let's see if I can break that out. See if we can break that out. Let's, in the meantime, actually, they're 37 out of 70. So they were 52% from field goal range. Actually, no, that includes the... I'll have to do some quick math there, Hatfield. You're going to have to do some quick math. I'm too fried to do it. Let's go... Well, at least I'm honest.
I disagree. I'm saying, absolutely.
Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. And let's get first call in here. Hello and welcome.
Thanks for being in there, fellas.
Hey, thank you. Bean Star, good talk to you, man.
Yeah, Keith, I thought it was just an entertaining, solid effort against what you, like you said, a well-coached veteran basketball team. I could find very little fault in what I saw tonight. You know, I think most of what we saw that we would have issue with, we're going to have issue with just simply because we're too small.
Well, exactly. I didn't see anything. They came out a little flat. Look, I mean, it's Tuesday night, the week of Thanksgiving. You're about to go to Brooklyn. Army's not exactly a marquee opponent. I mean, it happens with college kids. But I thought they got it straightened away pretty quickly, and I thought they played hard. They just got some issues. They just got, yeah, I mean, they've got systemic flaws that aren't going to go away. But they can share the ball and they can play at pace, and I thought that was what they did in that very well.
You know, they challenged most, like you said, most first shots, except for about the first 5 minutes, they were really good. And then the next 5 minutes, you know when they're not playing very good defense because you hear a bunch of whoos out there. That our whoo defense is when we don't have anybody around the shooter and somebody comes running at them hollering whoo. So that's when you know we're losing our man.
I thought other than the stretch where we quit guarding shooters, I mean, Kyle Wilson made some really difficult shots tonight.
Yeah, he did. Keith, I know you're not a big fan of Derek Reese's, but I feel like Barnes is the first guy that's he's had to coach him out of three that has him playing the role that his abilities dictate that he plays. In the first half, we kicked it out to him. He was at the top of the key. There was nobody around. He kicked it to the wing, went down inside, posted up. We went to him. He hit a little turnaround, then he goes to the other end and blocks a shot. Now, all of his previous 3 years here, he would have jacked that first shot, missed it, gone down the other end, and been frustrated and fouled.
Oh, I think that's a very accurate assessment. No, he's found a niche on this team, and that's to his credit. I mean, I think there's little or no doubt the guy fashions himself a shooter. And, I mean, as someone with a bit of an ego himself, it's sometimes hard to sublimate your ego a little bit. And I think he's doing that for the better of the team.
Yeah, I believe that Barnes has gotten several people to buy in. Now, Hubs may just be, he just may be general progression, but I think he's a much better player than he's been under any other coach. And Punter has done what Josh did last year, which is take on a role that he's probably not terribly fit for, but he's doing a nice job with it. But I thought Shimbari looked good tonight in the minutes. It looked to me like he's going to be able to spell Punter some, and I wasn't sure we had anybody that could do that.
But, well, and he looked a million times more comfortable out there tonight than he had previously. I mean, every time he touched the ball in the previous games, it was as if the thing was on fire. So I thought he was much better in that regard tonight.
Well, I know the schedule gets much, much more difficult coming up here for the next five games or so, but I'm pretty impressed with how this basketball team has been coached and how they're accepting and playing roles that they're capable of playing.
People have been clamoring for up-tempo basketball. They're getting it.
I liked it. And I thought that they used, I thought they were intelligent in the way they ran tonight, too.
Yeah, I didn't feel there weren't a lot of wild shots.
Bino, your point about Reese is exactly right in the sequence you pointed out. In fact, I had the same thought watching that unfold. It's if he can continue to develop like that, there are about three or four glue guys on this team that if they can just get some decent, consistent outside shooting, this team could shoot its way into being an NCAA tourney team. And I got to tell you guys, I've watched a couple of the favorites here. Kentucky's Kentucky, okay? Last couple nights, I've seen LSU play, Keith, and they're supposed to have the second best talent in the league. Keith, they are not coached at all. When I say not coached at all, I mean they are not coached a little bit. There is nothing going on there on the sidelines. They're extremely beatable for that reason. And a lot of this league is. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, we saw that last year. Tennessee goes to Baton Rouge and beats them last year. In a game they had no business. Tennessee had no business even being on the floor in.
Guys, I'm not sure I've ever seen a collection of talent wasted more than what we're going to see down there at LSU last year and this year.
This Simmons guy looks, and I'm not going to speak in hyperbole here as I've been accused of, but this Simmons guy, from time to time, this Simmons guy is a rare talent. I'm talking about a Penny Hardaway type of talent, just a interesting body, a lean, long guy that shouldn't be able to do what he does on the floor. They wasted a near triple double from him last night,
and into the game with somebody shooting with one of their bad guards shooting about a 50-foot.
Yes, what the hell was that?
That's Johnny Jones.
Guys, I'll get out of the way here. I thought the two most impressive things tonight were ball movement, and for me, just the fact that our freshmen look like to me tonight. I know they didn't put up big numbers, and they made mistakes. And, you know, Alexander's fouling people waiting out there on the sidewalk, fouling when they get off the bus. But they did look like that they could come in there and give us some minutes to rest some of our guys that are playing way too many minutes. And I never felt that way until tonight.
Your thoughts, Hatfield?
Oh, I think it's a very valid point. I thought all three of them showed tonight in stretches that they've got something to offer this team. And yeah, I mean this team needs its entire roster. This can't be just a 3 or 4 man show. I thought Jabari McGee had some good moments tonight.
Hey, Tony, really appreciate all the time you're putting in, buddy. I know this is a killer period through here. Thanks, you guys, for being in there tonight.
It's a good word for it, Bino. Thank you. It is definitely a killer period. There's no doubt about that. Tennessee wins tonight. It's a lot of fun, though. It's killer fun. Tennessee wins 95-80. Why is it killer fun? We get to celebrate some Tennessee hoops. Mark Griffin, who joins us now, and then we'll continue to take some phone calls, warned me that this group was going to be pretty well coached and they're going to be better than people thought they were going to be. And Griff, I thought we opened up with Hatfield tonight about 20 or so minutes ago, 30 or so minutes ago, I guess now. I thought that tonight's game was the most impressive win so far this season. Your thoughts?
Well, I'd have to agree, Tony. I was really impressed with the team effort overall. Glad to see the high field goal percentage to shoot at home over 52%. Guys, as you mentioned earlier, seem to be finding their role against a well-coached, well-disciplined team. Now, mind you, they're not top 25, but nonetheless, it's a team that you can't look past. And, Tony, there's going to be a lot of upsets out of conference that are going on as you watch nightly on TV and will continue to happen over the holidays. But I was just well pleased. One thing I noticed about this Army team is they continually changed defenses against Tennessee, went from man-to-man to zone, went to 1-3-1 zone. They ran some soft press to try to slow Tennessee down, and it didn't really seem to bother Tennessee overall. I mean, they had 7 turnovers. I mean, if you can have 7 turnovers in a game, Tony, you're going to be in the game, and they really took care of the ball. So I was very well pleased.
If I'd have told you that, coming into the season, Keith, you and Mark, that we would turn the ball over 7 times against a team like Army that is disciplined, smart, would switch defenses, would at least be able to confuse you. I mean, we would take that all day long and every day long. It speaks to the improvement that we've seen in the backcourt. I mean, you talk about some guys that have put in some work in the offseason, Keith. Keith's a little down on Mostella, Mark, but there's no doubt that the guys that are handling the basketball for Tennessee right now, including Armani Moore, have become, and KP, have really taken ownership of this deal.
Go ahead. If you'd asked me before the season, I would have thought this group, seeing what kind of ball handlers they were last year, I would have thought they would turn it over 7 times in warm-up.
Agreed. Mark, your thoughts?
No, I agree. I mean, just the play of Armani Moore alone, how aggressive he plays, you would forgive many of his turnovers just because of the style of play that he exhibits during the game. And man, you just got to love his effort. I mean, it's just contagious, isn't it? When you watch him play, it just seems like everyone really picks up. And as long as he can stay healthy and his team can stay healthy, who knows what can happen? I mean, maybe these guys will overachieve this year and win some games they're not supposed to win and minimize some losses and see how they fare. But once again, great team effort, spread it out. And I watched Coach Barnes when Baltman would put the ball up. And you know, it's funny. He's got free reign. He didn't get onto him for his shots and he never met a shot that he didn't like, but nonetheless, he's going to have to be able to put the ball in the basket for Tennessee this year, and he's an added dimension that I didn't think Tennessee would have so far or in the season that's just benefiting them so far.
If he continues to develop, because Baughman put 2 games together where he looks at least semi-comfortable. I mean, he had his stretch again tonight, where he's able to go out and be a 6-point run. That's quite a weapon to have on your team. And he contributed 3 assists tonight, 2 rebounds. There's just there's a lot of things to like so far in the early season. Hubs tonight with 14 points, just a solid effort. He's 6 of 12 from the floor, 2 boards. Armani Moore, 8 boards. Reese tonight with 11 boards. And Reese is a guy that's got to come to play. And how about Mostella getting Keith quietly 4 boards? Does he get credit for that, Keith, from you?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, he got 4 rebounds, which somewhat negates the 6 or 8 points he gave away, obviously, defensively.
Do you buy that criticism, Mark, of Mostella?
No, and we've talked about it in the past, Tony, and I totally agree with Hatfield. I mean, he just, unfortunately, and I don't like to be negative, but we got to call the truth the truth. He just seems lost on defense, not knowing where to go. There were several critical moments where he didn't know if they were switching or not. It looks like Tennessee team was switching, but between him and Reese, there were some mental mistakes where guys were wide open for backdoor layups and pointing fingers at each other. And you know, you just got to really open up your communication and talk. And I don't know if he's really communicating like he needs to. Fortunately tonight, Tony, I had really good seats, got to move down with a buddy of mine. And that was one of the things that I didn't hear on the floor tonight, was just really loud communication between the Tennessee team to make sure you would limit those mental errors.
Go to our phones. We'll get as many folks in as we can. Mark Griffin joins us. We're talking Tennessee and Army. Griff, along with Keith Hatfield, both guys you will see on our TV show coming up, In the Paint, premiering December 8 on Foxville 43, 6:30 at night. Let's go to the phones and get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What do you say, Tony, guys?
Hey, Donnie.
I'm Mark Griffin, IT, the gunner. I tell you guys, I don't know if this is accurate, but I was reading here on one of the message boards. But coming into tonight's game, Tennessee was leading SEC in rebounding.
You know, these early season numbers, Griff, you can make them say a lot, right?
Yes, you can. And giving up 16 offensive rebounds is way too much. And I think that's one of the first things you're going to hear Coach Barnes really, you know, discuss with his team. And when they look at tape to see what they've got to do to really get a body on someone and not allow that. Because let's face it, this Army team was not a powerful team inside tonight, more of a perimeter-based 3-point shooting team. One guy 6'10", but other than that, not a lot of inside guys. But Army team just never let down, and Tennessee's just got to out-hustle them, and unfortunately, you know, did not take some of those.
Yeah, I agree. You know, also, I just heard about it lately, this evening, about the appeal that they're making to try to get Turner eligible.
Yeah, they've got to. If they can get Lamonte Turner in here, that would be, Don, a tremendous boost.
Yeah, from everything I've heard everybody talk about that's been to practice and everything, this guy can play the point. And if he can play the point, and you've got Kevin Punter over there at the 2-guard shooting and playmaking, I mean, this team could really do some damage this year. You know, I don't know, a lot of folks, you know, wondering about Barnes this and that, but I'll tell you what, when I watch that team out there,
yep,
the guy knows how to coach.
Yep. I just want some hunger on the recruiting trail, but I'm with the concept. There's no doubt that he's coaching.
Yeah, he's teaching those guys. I mean, I thought Kevin Punter was a good player last year, but, he was erratic and, you know, his shots were, you know, some nights he was on fire, sometimes not. Guy can flat shoot it. I mean, not only just the threes, but that 5 to 15 feet, the floater, the pull-up jumper, he may take as big a step as Josh Richardson did from one year to the next, not in the same, you know, what they do, but what all they do. And Armani Moore, I thought last year under Donnie, made such strides. And I know every night's not going to be like tonight, but my gosh, tonight. These guys could make their life a lot easier, though. They would shoot free throws. I mean, we would be up 8 or 9 when we should be up 16. I don't expect them to hit 100% or necessarily hit 14 in a row like they did the other night, but it would be nice to hit 2 out of 3.
Griff, how much of that is legs? Just having to do so much elsewhere on the floor in terms of the foul shooting numbers that we're probably going to see, that these guys are going to struggle from the line all year?
I think majority of it is legs and between the head. You know, the guys get tired.
Yeah.
They don't want to come out of the game. They don't want to show fatigue at all, so they try not to grab their hips or their jersey. But they are tired, and most of it is outside of their head, you know, the mental thinking of, you know, following through, making sure that, you know, you're focused is making sure that you bend your knees.
Yeah.
And you've got that rhythm down. And you can see that when you watch anybody at the free throw line, if they're tired or not. Great measurements is how well they flex when they shoot their free throw.
Well, when Armani went up the last time to shoot two, the first one, I mean, hit the side of the rim. It's like, okay, I don't know even know how much he focused, or maybe it was like you're saying, Mark, maybe it was, you know, just tired and didn't have the bend in his legs and things like that. But if they can just get that free throw shooting down, I mean, it could have saved us down at Georgia Tech. We shoot free throws. I don't know what we're going to end up with, but I have to say, though they make me nervous and sometimes they make me mad, but like I said the other day, Tony, I do enjoy watching this team play. I really do.
Yep, and that's all I want. You know, at the end of the day, to me, be fun to watch. At least look like you're giving me an effort. Okay, Konzo Martin's last team, those guys can bitch and moan all they want about the way people were all over them. If they would have played hard and would have been fun to watch, people here, I know this place. Nobody would have been on those guys.
Nope.
This is a radical departure from that. No offense to them. And by the way, this team won't be anywhere near, I don't think, as successful as those guys were.
No.
But these guys are giving you tonight. They gave you a dead level effort in early it's not even early December. I said early December. It's late. No. It is late November. They gave you a dead level effort tonight. Konzo Martin, his teams, they didn't go off the bus till January. No offense to him.
I agree. You know, and it's you know, you sit and you watch ball and you watch effort and you see these different teams. And I'm sitting here watching them right now, and little Red Terrier here guys are got the ball down 4 days.
Yeah, they're in the game, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it probably won't be at the end of the game, but they're going to give them heck in the meantime.
Sure.
We could love to see an upset here.
Hey, this time of the year, here's what you see this time of the year. Teams that have a little veteran leadership, teams that have pretty good guard play can hang around with teams like Kentucky, and teams like LSU that are poorly coached, even though they have great material, will lose to inferior basketball teams at this time of the year, and probably throughout the year because LSU is really poorly coached. But, Don, thank you for the call. Keith, I'm going to bring you back in, and then we'll go back to the phones. How big do you guys think Lamonte Turner, if he gets eligible, if Tennessee's able to navigate and get that jam through, how big would that be, guys? And Hatfield, I'll start with you.
It means Kevin Punter doesn't have to pull the same kind of minutes that Josh Richardson did last year. I think it gives Armani more. It gives Armani Moore some breaks. I think it'd be incredible to get those guys some actual time. Downtime during games, because right now it's hard for Tennessee to exist with those guys off the floor for any extended period.
Griff?
I'll go so far to say that if Turner gets qualified, that this is the team that may could really make a run and get in the tournament. I think he's that big of a difference maker from all the practices I've seen, the leadership he exhibits, the toughness, the way he handles the ball, the way he's coached. I just think he has all the ingredients to make this as to be a general on the floor.
Say it, Griff. If he becomes eligible, they're going to make the NCAA tournament.
I'm going to go ahead and be optimistic and say that, Tony. After what I've seen him do in practice, I just think he's that big of a difference maker.
Based on, Keith, the people you've talked to, just reading inside and reading the tea leaves, what are the chances that this appeal can fall Tennessee's way?
With the NCAA, Tony, I've gotten to the point with the initial eligibility people, I've gotten to the point where I'm kind of where Bill Self was over the weekend when he just lit into them. Who knows? There never seems to be any consistency or rhyme or reason to what they do in those cases. So I would say it's 50-50 just because he's either eligible or he's not.
Back to the phones we go. Smartway, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. If you would like to get in with us, Keith, run your theory by Mark in terms of how Tennessee is going to have to switch things up and almost play to their lack of size by trying to play a little more 94 feet. Run that by Griff. I want Griff's opinion.
Well, I mean, I think they're going to have to just get it. I don't even necessarily know that you got to go 94 feet, but they've got to start getting out a little bit in passing lanes and creating some more turnovers, I think, just to make up for constantly getting pounded on the offensive glass. I mean, the easiest way to keep from getting beat on the offensive glass is to never let the ball get up there. So and it may just be that he doesn't think they've got the depth, and that just exposes the rim even more if you do that. But I think they're going to have to find a way to steal a couple extra possessions here and there to make up for the fact that teams are kind of playing volleyball against them on the offensive end.
What do you think, Mark?
I think he brings up a great point. And as a ball player too, you get into a rhythm. And if they're continually just playing man to man half court, it's easier to stay in that rhythm. And what you want or don't want is to get out of rhythm, obviously. And if you do make changes by pressing either, full court press, three quarters, half court, looking at maybe even some matchup zone, which sometimes is a dirty word in a lot of coaches' minds, the zone, but still it's a different look to see your matchups because it's all about matchups. It's like people talk about in football. It's no different in basketball. I mean, you scout these teams, you see what see what you can do against them as far as maximizing your strengths. But I agree with Hatfield. I think it wouldn't hurt to have at least a couple possessions just to mix it up. Just to see how you fare. And then if you do well with your transition, as far as going to a zone or full quarter, three quarters court, then you can stay in it.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. 32 past the hour. I think we're going on about 45 minutes talking about Tennessee and Army. They told me we wouldn't be able to do a show, post game on Tennessee basketball. I guess they were right. Let's go back to the phones. All lines are currently jammed. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. If that tomato can wasn't down there at the LSU, where would we see them at the end of the season?
If Johnny Jones wasn't at LSU, Keith, I'll start with you. If Johnny Jones wasn't at LSU, where would they be at the end of the season?
Oh, I think the same place they would have been last year without Johnny Jones. I think they're Sweet 16, Elite 8 caliber team.
And where will they be at the end of this year, Keith?
Probably fumbling away a lead in the first round of the NCAA tournament again.
So they will, but they will get in.
Oh yeah, I mean, they'll rack up enough wins. There's too much talent. I mean, it's at least that idiot proof.
He is a boobus American. That Ben Simmons, how freaking good is he? I ask our caller.
Well, guys, this is Smitty. The guy had,
triple-double. 20-20-8 last night. 20-20-8, and they lost.
Today he had, 4 points,
yep.
10 boards, and there are 14 boards and 10 assists, something like that. I mean, the guy is a player.
Insane.
you have to be an idiot to yes. not win. But I think that point's made. But my next question is, Tony and whoever else, when you ever have the chance to ask Donnie, I want to see what he saw in Bama Dietrich when he was recruiting him, because I haven't seen anything out of him in 2 years.
In who?
He's kind of like, Bogman in a way. Bogman has his times where he looks really good and, mm-hmm. you know, shoots really well, but, you know, Bama Dietrich, man, that guy, I mean, he just is a constant turnover machine and makes so many stupid passes. I mean, good Lord.
Griff, does he frustrate you?
He does frustrate me, Tony, and your caller. I would agree. I mean, I really focused in on him tonight. It just seems like he's playing on his heels. And, you know, there's a concept called triple threat position, which just means you're pretty much ready to pass, shoot, or dribble. And he doesn't seem to be in either position to be a threat at all, and he's on his heels, leaning forward, and really just not a threat. And if he's not a threat, he needs to either work it out in practice or not get the time and let, you know, maybe Shambari or somebody else get more playing time. But he's slowly playing himself where he's going to get less playing time because he's not making a difference in the game like tonight.
I have to say that he's a constant, or he really likes to drive into triple teams and try to make a crazy pass. But one other thing I noticed was that Bob is starting to play really good. You know, I think he's kind of coming into form, and, you know, I'm a huge fan of Bob Hubbs, and, you know, I think that he's kind of having a career like McCray. I think that McCray got off to a little bit of a slow start in his career, but I think Bob's kind of coming into form a little bit. I saw him, you know, starting to have a little hook shot today. I like that. That was pretty good.
What about his development, Griff, the development of Bob Hubbs 3?
I'm impressed with his development. The thing with him, it's a confidence issue. Once again, going back to confidence, but the more he plays, the more confident he gets, the better he's going to be. He's developed, like your caller said, more of an inside game, had some beautiful moves tonight. He's got super hops. I mean, the best hops probably on the team. And just, you know, just continue to develop and develop his game, and just going to only get better. Now, the one thing with Hubs that I'd like to see when he's inside making those great moves is finish and get fouled. It, you know, he didn't go to the free throw line again tonight. And, you know, he's had opportunities to be able to drive the ball to get to the basket and get to the free throw line. So, you know, but that'll come because he's still developing his game. But you know, we're going to really need Robert Hubs for this team to move forward and have a successful season. I think he's the trump card for this team this year, Tony.
Hey, Hatfield, give me your thoughts on what we saw from Hubs tonight, just out of curiosity.
Well, it's just I think it's just to continue to see it. He's certainly playing the best basketball of his Tennessee career, and he seems to add a little something every night that we hadn't previously seen. I don't think there's any debate that he's wildly improved.
And you said, Hatfield, for the record, that Josh Richardson would be an all-league player when he first came here. You were proven correct. And last year, you would not give up on Robert Hubbs 3 when everybody else was pulling the plug on him. Am I correct?
Well, I mean, he's too talented to pull the plug on, Tony. He's a guy that I think Griff nailed it. He had to get healthy. I mean,
yep.
that was a big part of it too.
Yep.
I mean, he had to get healthy.
Yeah.
And B, it's confidence. I mean, Coach K didn't recruit him just to go down to West Tennessee and hang out. I mean, that when Mike Krzyzewski recruits you, that's a pretty good indication you can play a little bit.
And furthermore, Smitty, you know what else has really helped him? Is the Jason Swain with red hair look. It's really working for him.
I don't know what that is, but
it's so next level. It is so next level. It, you know what I think he's saying? I was a McDonald's All-American, and I'm going to look like Ronald.
Hey, you,
you know, whatever floats your boat, man. I mean, Bob's Bob, and gotta love the guy.
I love him.
You know, he's playing with some passion.
Absolutely.
But, you know, in all seriousness, though, I really want to know about Bama Dietrich because I don't see anything about him. But, you know,
you've gotten that out there a few times. Thank you, Smitty.
Yes, we'll see you guys.
Yeah, you. I mean, we don't really deal in that sort of thing, but we let it go a couple times. But geez, Louise, we get the point. He will make you say damn it, though, when you're watching him play. I mean, God bless him. Mark, I've learned that. As we say in the South, you say God bless somebody, and then you rip them to shreds. But it, but it works. You know, Hub's a guy. Let's talk about him. In high school, he's a guy who wowed you with the physical ability. But he's a guy who played with his back to the basket. And Griff, I know you're doing you're coaching a lot in the development zone now. Mm-hmm. This is the competition zone where you see major college basketball. Where you are is a development zone. And those kids in those small towns, in many cases, have to find their way at this level, don't they? And it's kind of fun watching the lights come on for this kid, because you kind of wonder, what's the ceiling for him? And he's got scary ability, doesn't he?
Oh, he's got unbelievable talent. I mean, it's funny, when he first came in, he wowed me more than anyone as far as his hops, just his athletic ability alone, but goes back to the confidence that we talked about earlier and just keeping on developing and keep coaching him up. And that's one thing that I think Coach Barnes has done a good job, is coaching him up, giving him the confidence, let him play freestyle. He's getting better with setting up his shot. One thing that you'll see, and I would challenge all your listeners tonight to watch him when he catches the ball, to see if he's landing on both feet at the same time. He has a tendency to land with his left foot behind him. I'm sorry, his right foot behind him, and then he's having to step into a shot. Well, that gives your defender time to come and guard you, so it's better to catch the ball on both feet at the same time, which, you know, coaches run those drills in practice every day. But, you know, some habits are hard to break, and you'll see him kind of wind up. Once he can work through that, Tony, when he get into especially SEC play and the tight defenses, you're going to see his shot go off a lot earlier, and I think you're going to see him even be more confident.
That is an interesting point. Hatfield, that's some good stuff there that Griff's bringing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, Griff, in your mind, then, from what you're talking about, as somebody who was known in your day as a marksman from the outside, plus you were not afraid to celebrate the three ball, not in the Doug Roth kind of way at LSU, but celebrate nonetheless. You're telling me that, yeah, it's funny you mention that, because he does have a tendency to spread the other foot out. What foot is it that he gets out in front of him?
He gets his right foot behind him.
And right behind him.
He winds up. It's like we call it wind up.
Okay.
He winds up his shot to take his right foot, which is behind him, and when he catches the ball, then steps into his shot with his right foot, as opposed to catching the ball on both feet at the same time and going straight up. When if you watch the NBA, you'll see those guys do it all the time, because mm-hmm. they can't afford to wind up. They catch the ball with both feet, go straight up, or take a quick step with their right foot, but not having to wind up with it being right behind them. That's why I've noticed, and this has happened to Robert on several occasions on the three-point area, where he's actually stepped out of bounds, if you recall, because he has that right foot that's behind him stepping out of bounds. It's not his left foot, it's his right foot. So that's just something he's just got to continue to work on. He'll get better with practice, but it is something I would challenge you guys to watch and see if he works through those kinks to improve his game overall.
I'm going
to
hold you to that. Let's go back to the phones. By the way, Kentucky up on Boston 31-30 in the Rick Pitino appreciation game up there, as he came from Boston University by way of your. Whoa. Let's not flange in and out here. Fellers, let's get back to the phones. Get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, who are you? I've been kind of popping in and out. Who was Griff talking about with the footwork?
Griff?
Mr. Yeah. Hubs.
Hubs.
Hubs. Robert Hubs, 3.
Okay. Well, guys, I'll tell you what, I'm excited about this team. Now, catch me up, Tony, on our point guard. Are you saying there's a chance?
Lamonte Turner tonight. His appeal. Tennessee is appealing. Jimmy Hyams broke the story earlier. And Mark Griffin has said that if Turner becomes eligible, Tennessee will make the NCAA tournament. He just went on the record earlier.
Well, are there any details on the appeal?
No. Look, anytime you go before the NCAA, it is an absolute crapshoot.
Yeah, and a bad thing about that is you know they're not going to get in any big hurry.
Oh, yeah, no. The NCAA is one organization, along with our federal government, that needs to be torn to shreds. They waste more time and money at the NCAA and at the government level. The NCAA, in fact, ought to just become a part of the government bureaucracy, because that's what they do. I mean, they are the definition of a bureaucracy.
Well, guys, I didn't get a chance to see much of the game, but I'll tell you what, when I look and I see 52.9% from the field and 45.5% from three-point land, that's encouraging shooting percentages. Don't you agree?
Griff?
Oh, no question. I mean, best performance so far of the year at home, and a very positive sign moving forward when I go up to New Jersey or Brooklyn.
And both Griff and Hatfield pointed out you played a team tonight that's veteran-laden, that had size, that was changing defenses constantly on Tennessee tonight, which is what makes tonight's win, to me, I call it the best win of the season.
Hey, guys, if we go up and beat George Washington, who are we looking at facing in that second game up there?
Hatfield, the field is currently set up as, go ahead.
Well, it'll be Nebraska and Cincinnati in the other side, and I'll be very, very surprised if Cincinnati doesn't beat their brains out.
So you're looking at a 7 o'clock. If that happens, Tennessee will play 9 o'clock on a Saturday. The regular crowd shuffles in. Yes or no?
I think that's right.
Okay. So you're talking about 9 o'clock at night is the tip-off, and that which means I'll be back here at 11 o'clock for the post-game show.
After doing
the football post-game show, Jeker, and they tell me I'm lazy. Do you have a thought on that, Jeker? After doing my daily show at the Hardee's up in beautiful the Clinton Norris exit. Jeker, do you think I'm lazy?
Well, I know one thing. When I stopped in there at Stover's today and you were scrambling those eggs in the kitchen, I mean, there's no way you're lazy.
Interesting.
Hey, but guys, I tell you what, I'm getting excited about the Rick Barnes era, and it's just so refreshing to hear an intelligent conversation come from one of our head coaches after having to listen to Bush Jones.
Thank you, Jaker. That's a real positive phone call by you. 865-200-5402. Keith, what about this field, the George Washington game? You certainly follow this a lot more closely than Griffin myself. Unpack it for us. Give us a quick sneak preview of GW Friday night, 9 o'clock.
Oh, they're probably, with the injury to E.C. Matthews at Rhode Island, they're certainly one of, if not the favorite, to win the A-10 now. They're another veteran team. I mean, Mike Lonergan's been a good been a really good head coach at multiple stops. Tennessee will have their hands full. I mean, it's a team that beat Virginia. So that, I think that speaks for itself.
Do they do anything that's a major concern to you that we haven't seen from a Tennessee opponent so far? Or do they do anything that just makes this a bad matchup?
I mean, they've got a little bit of size, Tony, but they're not huge. I mean, it's not a team that's going to just physically overwhelm Tennessee. But, I mean, like I said, they've got a number of guys that have played together for several years, and I think that's always an advantage. That's normally, out of the A-10, it's normally the teams with juniors and seniors that are really good.
would it be a stretch to say that you expect them to be an NCAA tournament team at year's end?
Oh, I'll be surprised if they're not, especially when you've already got a non-conference win over the likes of a Virginia, and they're likely, I don't see any way they finish worse than third or fourth in the A-10, and that league's all, I think that league's always going to get that many bids these days.
Who has to play well for us for this to be successful Friday night at 9 o'clock?
Oh, it's got to be Kevin Punter, Armani Moore, Robert Hubs. I mean, I think that's going to be the three guys that have to play well every night, because so much is on those three that if they don't have good nights, I just don't know that there's enough there right now in the other guys to make up for an off night from one of them.
Griff, you were a Union City boy, home of the great Coco Beware and Frankie Beware. When you had a chance to go and play close to home, did you, Griff, turn it up? Like, KP is going to get a chance to go to Brooklyn, and he's from Bronx. And you know, whether you're from Brooklyn Town or Long Island Sound, Bronx, Queens, I'm quoting a little Eric B. and Rakim back in the day, Griff. That's from Paid in Full, which was the story of your life at the University of Tennessee, by the way, when you were a scholarship athlete. Did you turn it up, Griff, when you got on your home territory before we go back to the phones?
Tony, I didn't light it up when we played close to home. Unfortunately, we had such good talent, and I, you know, still played my role as the hustler, a 3-point shooter, but nothing that really stood out when I was at home and we played in Memphis against, you know, preseason game, or we even went to my hometown of Union City. Coach DeVoe scheduled a ball game there and didn't play that well. I was actually nervous when we played in my hometown because there were so many distractions, which we try to minimize distractions. But to get to, you know, the point about KP, I think that the biggest thing that's going to help him is to minimize his distractions and not get too involved with the posse and the family and everyone coming at him, and him just getting his rest or working on his studies while he's out of town, and just minimize his distractions. I think it's going to help him focus more, and then just let it all out on the court.
It was just said to me, and Griff, that's very excellent insight by you. It was just told to me that Keith Hatfield, the Vol Colonel just referred to Keith Hatfield as an encyclopedia of hoops nationally. Keith, how do you plead to that?
Well, Tony, if you spend as much time watching it and reading about it as I do, you're going to pick some of it up.
And marinating it miserably as you do.
Yes.
Interesting. 865-200-5402. George Washington's last two games. This is from Doug Strange tonight. A strange stat from Doug Strange. George Washington's last two games were Army and Gardner-Webb. Is that because of this tournament, Keith?
Yes. It allows the smaller schools to get some exempt games, too.
Very good. 865-200-5402. Thank you, Doug Strange, for the strange stat of the night. Let's go back to our phones, get our next phone call in. As we've been, we're moving up past an hour here on your Smartway, Dalton Behring Hydraulic, Tennessee basketball overtime, where we stay commercial break free, but we do have sponsors. Smartway, our friends at Smartway, you can find them, ladies and gentlemen, over at 8416 Kingston Pike out near Bearden High School. They, ladies and gentlemen, are the everything for your home. Pay your way. Be smart. Buy smart. The Smart Way store. And what you're looking for, no matter what you're looking for, they're Knoxville's retailer for your home. Furniture, appliances, electronics, cell phones, you name it, they've got it. They're constantly picking up new product lines, even tires. Check out Smart Way. And then my friends at Dalton Behring and Hydraulics, online at daltonhydraulic.com. Anything that turns or makes mobile components work, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic has for you. Randy Dalton, Yoshihiho. And a special shout out to my friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine Group, 2260 Sutherland Avenue. And John Cruz and Klaus, if you are tuned in to us tonight, my friend, I am coming to see you because the arch on my right foot is killing me. Griff, do you have any advice for me? My arch under my right foot is killing me. What did you do for that when you experienced that as a basketball player?
A lot of stretching, Tony.
I never stretch, Griff. I don't like to stretch.
That's why you're having problems.
2260 Sutherland Avenue in Knoxville, online at 10sportsmed.com. See the link at tonybasilio.com. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. You're on the Smart Way, Dalton Behring, Hydraulic, Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, Keith and Mark, how y'all doing?
Hey, good to talk to you.
Yes, mouthpiece. A couple questions. I didn't get to call in earlier this week, Tony, but really good time at Cassie's, and it was neat to see Roger. There was those two really nice-looking ladies came in, took their picture with Roger, and he was so happy. He was grinning from ear to ear, Tony. He wasn't even watching the game.
No. Roger, we had a couple, for those that couldn't see it, there were a couple
of
beautiful young ladies who... Raj, when he spotted them, I mean, Raj was watching every once in a while, looking at that game. But for the most part, I said, Raj, I said, you think those girls are beautiful? He said, oh, yeah, like that. His eyes were as big as saucers.
Yeah, that was really great time.
You know, he looked like you when the chicken wings came.
That's right. We broke the Cassie streak. Tony, I got a real quick question for you, then I have a couple questions for Keith and Mark.
All right.
Who is your favorite head coach in football that goes by a nickname that's a football reinventor? Would that be Butch or Chip?
I'm going with Chip. Chip is the bigger football reinventor than Butch. And Adam Schefter tonight reported, he's speculating that Chip Kelly's time in Philly is drawing to a close, and he's heading back to college football, and he is a miserable loser. Continue.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, y'all were talking about Hubs, and that's kind of what I wanted to talk on. One thing I noticed with Hubs is a lot of times he'll get the ball maybe on the, I don't know if you call it the wing, but where he could spin baseline and there's less resistance, but he'll pop out away from baseline and pass it. Do you think, and I'll get Keith and Mark to comment on this, that he's afraid of his finishing skills and he wants to get others involved? Because I was a bad, you know, high school basketball player, but when I got the ball, you know, on the wing and I saw a baseline kind of free, I would go and try to make something happen. It's just weird that somebody with that kind of athleticism, you know, it seems like he'll get the ball and instead of going, you know, left to the basket, he'll switch back right and make himself small again and then kick it out to a guard. What do you all think about that?
Griff, you go first.
Well, I think a lot of it's dictated, unless he's just trying to drive on his own, is how the defense is playing him. Usually most coaches will defend players and force baseline. If you can beat them towards the middle, that opens up the rest of the court and, like you said, helps get it to other players. So I would have to answer, depends on how he's being played. We're taught to go towards the middle of the lane as opposed to go baseline. So I think that just depends on how they're coached. But you see probably better results when he goes towards the middle because he is able to make more passes as opposed to going baseline and you get help, and that cuts off your options to make a good pass.
But more to Hatfield, to Griff's point, the guy's got hops. If he ever gets hungry the way Richardson did in that tournament that year, in that NCAA tournament, and realizes the athleticism that he has, I mean, with the red hair right now, isn't there a chance that he grows into that kind of player where he just gets hungry down there and starts taking guys on the baseline and jamming over some people?
No, I don't think there's any doubt he's that type of play, that type of athlete.
So where's the disconnect there? Go ahead.
I don't think he has a great deal of confidence in his left hand on the dribble. Is a lot of it too.
That's an interesting observation. These guys are really going inside tonight. MP, continue.
Could he be like a poor man's Vincent Yarbrough, where he doesn't really have... I always told everybody, because I was a huge fan of Jerry Green, the old Silver Fox teams. Now, they weren't very well coached, but golly, they were fun to watch. Now, I was a Silver Fox fan, and I always told everybody that if Vincent Yarbrough had Ron Slay's basketball IQ, he would have been an NBA All-Star. But with Hubs, do you think that he's got a little Vincent Yarbrough in him where he's really just kind of lackadaisical?
Let me give you...